and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
It ain't the destination. No, it's about the journey. It ain't where you're headed, but it's how you grow. It ain't about the trophies, but getting back on your feet, walking in your glory. So come on, let's go. It's time for Michelle Speak. Yes, it is.
Good afternoon and welcome to Michelle Speaks. It is your host, Michelle Lawrence, and I'm so excited to have yet another hour with you this week to discuss one of the four W's, worth, wealth, wisdom, and wellness. But before we jump into today's topic, we're going to get started the way we always do, acknowledging the one who has made this all possible through scripture. And today's scripture is a familiar one. It comes from none other than Genesis, the 12th chapter, the 1st through the 3rd verse, and it reads as follows from the NIV. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." I've just read for you Genesis, the 12th chapter, the 1st through the 3rd verse. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. And so let's dig into today's scripture. I am very familiar, and I'm sure that many of you are, with the call of Abraham, being told by God to literally get up and go to a place I will show you. So the first thing I will say that I'm pointing out is there are times you're going to be told to get up and go, and you have to go without hesitation or reservation. You have to go without hesitation or reservation. When you get that message, that voice within you that's saying it is time to move, move. Delayed obedience is quite frankly still disobedience. And sometimes our hesitation causes us to miss the blessing. We are in one place when we really should be in another, and it's because we have delayed getting to that place that we don't get all of the abundance of what was waiting for us there. And so when it's time to go, push past your fears, push past your pain, and get to where you are destined to be. The second thing is recognize that when you get there, it's not just about you, but for generations to come. So Abraham, it wasn't about just you being blessed, but we're going to bless everyone through you. So as he is told the same thing to Abraham, so it's true with us. It is not about what's going to happen for us, but the generations to come after us. We are indeed the blessing of the generations before. Many stood in the gap, many prayed, many walked, many marched, many died, so that we would have opportunities that are made available to us now. So it is therefore incumbent upon us to do the same, to step out and to step up, quite frankly, so that generations to come will be blessed through us. And then the last is, there will be many who will challenge you, who will say you're not qualified, you're not prepared. They're going to do things to dismantle the very thing that you are building. They will simply say that they're digging ditches so that you will fall into them. Know that none of those things will prevail. Though they are working diligently and desperately to make sure that you fall and fail, that is not in his design. And so while those who are working against you know that everything is working for the good. And so whatever you encounter, whatever experience it is still going to work for the good. He has made miracles out of the mess we've made. But whoever we bless, he will bless. And whoever we curse, he will curse. Those are the three components that I am encouraging you today. Encouraging you. One, when it's time to go, go. Two, he is going to bless through you. So it's important that you're in alignment. And then the last component is recognizing that there are those who will be against you, who will oppose you. Those are just mere opportunities for God to show who he is. Rest in that. And part of understanding all of this is understanding where you came from so that you can understand what you're going to create or allow to be created through you. This week's song comes from Sanak, I Know Who I Am. We have just heard Sanak's I Know Who I Am. I love the verses in this song. It says, I'm walking in power. I'm walking in miracles. I know who I am. And the reason that is so apropos for today is because today's topic is built on worth. And in the studio with me today is none other than Miss Blue Kind. And I am going to give just a brief overview of who she is and today's subject. But I am so honored to have someone so authentic and genuine. I had the opportunity to visit her place of business yesterday, and it just felt like home. So before I go there and mess up everything, today's W is worth. And part of emphasizing what worth is knowing who you are and knowing where you've come from so that that fuels you into a great trajectory for your future. And so today we are talking about valuing your lineage so that you can create your legacy. In the studio is Blue Kind. She is a mother, an artist, an advocate of marginalized and art entrepreneur. She loves creating intentional spaces for positive change, whether it's through financial exchanges or a smile. Through her business, Franny Lou's Porch, a coffee and tea house in East Kensington, she hopes people gather to rest, have dialogue, feel their value, and activate their creativity. And I can tell you from visiting yesterday, all of that is true and so much more. You literally enter into this space and you want to stay. From the rocking chair to the standalone, I wanted to call it the old-fashioned grandma chair, but it's such a comfortable space. Please, thank you so much for being with me today, yes. Blue Kind.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so this is a begin to share who you are, right? This, the couple of little snippets that I just read off. She has two absolutely adorable kids. I so loved their energy yesterday. They were so intentional and so deliberate about drawing and speaking and telling her it's going to be huge. You're not going to even believe how big this is going to be when I finish drawing it. And, you know, the fact that her children are running and playing in her own business just says so much about what you're creating. So, Blue, would you just share with the listeners, you know, just a little bit about who you are?
Who I am.
Yes,
ma'am. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm Blue Kind, mother of Gabron and Rosetta, a 3 and 6-year-old. That's a lot of my identity right now.
Yeah.
As well as the tribe member or tribe leader of Fernie Lou's Porch. I also go by Mama Good Bones. We all have tribe names. I'm also an artist, so I'm a poet and performer. I'm actually performing tomorrow at City Hall. I'm talking about the marginalized voice in economic justice.
Yes, indeed.
Environmental
indeed.
Justice. So, yeah. So I like to really find ways that we can value each other and value our experience,
mm-hmm.
Even if you don't like all of it, and knowing that we can grow from where we came from and rise above, as Maya Angelou kind of says, and how we can really invite the marginalized, invite our children, invite our elders into a space where we can grow into a better humanity. We need to make better choices, and we need to take each other seriously.
Yeah.
So we can really impact and imprint, like you were saying earlier, imprint to a positive future for our kids.
Well, you do that in so many ways, and we talked about yesterday you using that word value, and value ties in so nicely with worth, because you have to value who you are so that you begin to value others. Talk about how Fannie Lou's Porch, the culture you created around value in that place, and what it means.
Well, it's all about value. It's all about people. We're a business that centers around the tribe. Our tribe are the people that represent the porch every day, the people that work there. There's between 8 to 10 people that work there, whether it's baking, office management, baristing, or bartering. We have a lot of bartered love in there as well. That's our roots. You know, our roots are the people that work there and represent the business every day. So we really are intentional. Like, we have tribe values, which is loving yourself, loving the neighbors, and loving each other. And so we can go back to our tribe values and really create a firm foundation to make sure, you know, once we are loving ourselves well, you know, it's just going to be easy and accessible to value and love others. You know, and then, you know, they can see their part that is very, you know, their part is needed. Like, if they don't do their job, you know, I can't do mine. Like, we are all needed. And so we're also creating a non-hierarchical space.
Yes, we talked about that.
Yeah, I really think that Black businesses need to choose a different way of doing business in a capitalistic society that is rooted in slavery and genocide. So I think we can take those decisions by spreading the leadership and spreading power and really finding our identity in community rather than identity of top-down leadership.
So you're saying spreading leadership and spreading power, that also means sharing in the responsibility and taking ownership. Yeah. Talk more about that.
I actually don't think that, like, single owners of businesses is healthy. It's not. I mean, many people think, oh, you got it all if you own your business. But actually, it comes with a lot of stress and a lot of responsibility that's not possible to succeed by yourself. We are a really good culture of creating the image of what looks good, but really, I mean, there's like, you know, as much money as you get, the more lonely you get, right? The more susceptible to suicide you get. So we really need to see what success really is. And I do think success, like, we are, as Fannie Lou's, successful, even though I get food stamps. You know, we are a space that I understand my value. I have affected others and their value, and hopefully have propelled others to be the fullest and the best that they can be. Great. I can die tomorrow and feel good about that. You know, I think I've done enough. But I'm still continuing to do what I think God has had me here to do. But I hope that others feel those, that fullness as well. So it's about being full and being where we need to be. So when we do the hierarchical, non-hierarchical leadership, I hire based on the gifts and who they are and their passions, and hopefully that they bring that ownership to the space. And hopefully ownership as in like on the paper as well. Mm. You know, we're doing a profit sharing model, trying to figure out that as well. Yeah, so it's hard. It's like, oh, Blue, but you did so much. You did this. You did that. I was like, dude, I'm not anything without my team. I'm not anything without my neighborhood and my community that has bought coffee from me from the very beginning in June 2009. You know?
Right.
We like worshiping. I mean,
yeah. Pedestals. Why don't we just put you right up there?
Yeah, let me just put
right
you here.
Elevate you.
Yeah. And then that person can't make any mistakes.
Right.
They can't be human. They can't, you know, don't say the wrong thing.
Right.
Or you're just going to crumble this whole.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that like we create like, actually I'm here, you're here, we're all here.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to be the best every day, but hopefully you can be the best and I'm not. Mm. You know, we need each other.
So I felt that yesterday, the lift as we climb, and I know most of the listeners are going, did she just say no hierarchy? Mm. And mm-mm. I know, right? They're like, oh my goodness, how do you lead and manage if there is no one in charge? But I saw that yesterday. Mm. Share what that dynamic is like, because I know it's one thing to experience it, but I want them to hear from your lips and your perspective, because yes, you're the owner. And it was apparent yesterday, but I watched as each of your tribe members just took ownership of everything. How did you create that? And how do you sustain it?
I'm learning how to sustain it.
Okay.
It's
that's
all
fair.
A project.
Yeah.
And I expressed to them, this is a project, but I mean, value, just loving people and affirming people's gifts and affirming their worth and then putting them in that position to do that thing and trusting them. We are capable creatures. Mm. We are multifaceted creatures.
Okay.
We all can work hard. We all can have bad days.
Yeah.
You know, but like I want to empower people in their gifts and what they want to do. Like we have an 18-year-old. She's just gotten to school at Temple. She's been with us for a year and a half. She's Dominican from the neighborhood, bright, brilliant woman. And she's like, Blue, I just really want to write. I was like, you like to research and write? I was like, she's like, yeah. I was like, you want to do our blog? Blue, yes. So she's doing our blog. And she's fumbling along the way in the most beautiful, graceful as she can. And she's learning so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like giving them the opportunity. And then they feel like that's their responsibility. They need to show up. Because if you don't show up,
right,
we're going to miss you. We're going to be hurt because you are valuable. Mm. So I think that just in the context of communicating to the tribe, I mean, it's a lot of communication, a lot of listening. Like even this morning I had... We had a difference with me and the manager, and we had to like talk about it.
Mm.
And I said, sorry. She's like, got you. Let's go a different direction. Let's make different decisions. Cool. Let's go. Because we want to have a good relationship.
Right.
So I don't know, like that desire to have a good relationship, desire to not bring what I have experienced business as to be the business that we run. Like, you know, we don't have to, but we are aware. So when I hire, I always say, where'd you come from? What are the things that you tend to struggle with in team environments? What are places that you succeed in? So we talk, like, are you self-aware? We can't bring anybody on the tribe if they are not able to look at the things they want to work on. And they need to know that they're not perfect. And
right.
If somebody comes in there, oh, I'm just perfect. I'm like, probably not the best place.
Yeah, this is not a perfect place. We are not a perfect people. You need to go down
you
the street.
You need to go.
Into the perfect shop.
Yes. So I'm just like, I'm learning, and I'm, you know, I have a lot of business owner friends, and I learn from them. I learn that having healthy boundaries is good. Mm. Knowing roles, that's why I try to look at it. It's like, yes, I am the owner. I have more of the... like financially, if this doesn't do well, yes. Mm-hmm. But if the roles aren't done, I like to just show as roles. Like, I'm here speaking to you because I have a good role of communicating our value and our mission.
Right.
My manager, she doesn't like that. So she lets me do my role well, and mm-hmm. she'll do her role of organizing, I think, the whole shop, make sure things are, you know, specialized. She's brilliant. And I tell her that, you see, you communicate that they're brilliant. You have to communicate it and not think it.
Right.
Or not assume. You have to communicate it.
Or just because they're getting a check, they should.
Yeah, that's not motivation. Yeah. Come on, y'all.
At the end of the week, if you want a check, have at it. But that's how you pull greatness out of people. Because I've seen, you know, you communicate yesterday, even with your son, and you were like, I gave you three options. Which of these three would you like to do? And just watching you walk through that with him, and the dynamic of how everyone else was taking ownership while you were speaking with me. That value
that
really is
cool.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Somebody started painting with my kids.
Yes.
To manage to put on, like, a little show for my daughter.
That's it.
They were loving. They were being very loving.
But you keep using the word tribe. Talk about that and how that also adds to this culture of value.
We need to use different words.
Okay.
Our terminologies and how, you know, it's all linked with oppression and a systematic oppression. So, like, we need to see our relationships differently.
Mm.
And so, like, the word boss, I hate using that word. You'll even know my staff knows I don't use it. I use tribe leader. I do not use boss. Because boss has a lot of baggage with what they perceive a boss being. A boss is hierarchical. You know, you have to look up to them. That means I'm stepping on my staff if I'm a boss.
Mm.
So a tribe leader is like they're one of the tribe. We're all here doing this thing. So I really like to use this different words. And tribe, you know, it's more like we're existing together. We're here. The light is shining on all of us together at this moment. So I think even that, it provides some ownership even in that. And there's this connectiveness between everyone. And they hang out, you know. I try not to, you know, being the tribe leader, I try not to do as much hanging out.
Right.
I really am trying to have some good boundaries. That's my flaw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, let's all love each other. And I'm like, Blue, you need some boundaries, and I need my own personal space as well. But yeah, I think the words we use is definitely part of the way we perceive.
So culture is what I see that you're establishing in your I almost said home, in your establishment. It felt like home.
Okay.
And what I'm even hearing you say now about we're capable creatures, that there are gifts, and acknowledging those gifts. Not just acknowledging them, but creating space, because even biblically it says your gift will make room for you. Well, you're doing that, right? You're saying, here's the gift that you have. I'm going to create the space for it. I need you to be self-aware of where your strength is in this gift and where your weakness is in this gift. Otherwise, I won't be able to create the space that I need for you to have, because it may damage us. So I don't want listeners to walk away thinking that, oh, she has no accountability. I think there is a collaborative effort around accountability. There is self awareness and ownership of I see where my weaknesses are and I have to work on them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, I see you do that just in a more I know when people hear loving that they misunderstand that. You do it in a way that is more developmental than demeaning.
Yes. Yes. I love that. I like the way you phrase it. I really do. I could just, like, listen. I'm like, yes, I'm there.
But that's what I saw yesterday. And it makes a difference when you walk into a place, because you can walk in and feel culture and see it,
mm-hmm.
right? And there's a difference between, you know, a coffee and tea house versus a coffee and tea place.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So yours is even designed mm-hmm. like a home. Talk about
the design.
How
we call it the porch. So the porch is that in between place. People are like, you don't have a porch yet outside? I was like, dude, not yet. I don't own the building.
Look, I was smiling. I pulled up. I'm like, she has to have a porch. I'm like, waiting. Where is it?
I'm trying to figure that out right now.
It's okay.
Logistics.
It's okay.
However, but when you walk in, yeah, it's a porch.
It is.
You know, it's that in-between space where you can, a safe place where you can meet people or see people you haven't seen in a week.
Yeah.
You can battle, you know, what a depression if you come. Mm. You know, being a space to connect with kids. Like a lot of the single people that don't have kids or the elders, they really have this life that comes out of them when children are around. Children are beautiful and their mind is untainted.
Right.
You know, and we have a lot to learn from children. So a lot of the people that come, like, appreciate the children. But the space itself, you know, they say that running business, a good way to run a business is be your authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
So my authentic self is searching and seeking my roots being a Black woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also from the South. I'm from Virginia.
Mm.
So I do love that hospitality. You know, I love that, the smile. Yeah, some things aren't right, but I'm still going to smile about it. I'm still going to smile.
That's it.
So I'm working with that. But also, like, my excitement into the African culture as well. I'm an African dancer.
Mm.
And I love African-American history. So you'll see that there's a lot of African-American history resources there, mm-hmm, and American true history resources there. There's a lot of African print to connect us with our roots. Mm-hmm. It is a space designed to connect to Black and brown and marginalized people.
Mm.
It is a window into the Black experience.
Yeah.
My Black experience, but also collectively, we all can share in that part of a Black experience. So a lot of spaces now is very white culture based, especially coffee houses, which is fine. However, it's a place where Black and brown and marginalized folk don't have to have a face.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to have a shield.
Right.
They can just exist and be supported in who they are. There's not that many places like that. But also, within the white community, they can come as well.
Right.
And
they do.
They do.
I saw them yesterday.
That's most of our customers right now. And they can feel the love of the African-American experience.
Mm-hmm.
They can connect and build community with Black and brown people and have a chance to humanize us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's healing on both ends. We have a lot of healing to do.
Wow.
We have a lot of healing to do.
And so when we're talking about lineage, what I loved about being in your place of business, and I keep wanting to say home, and I'm going to get myself together around that, but it really did feel like that for a number of reasons, right? There are very few places outside of a library, and the library contains history about everyone. But as I was having this conversation even with the staff last week and we were discussing lineage, we aren't mentioned in history. We go from, we were brought over as slaves, here's civil rights, and we're out. Those are the buckets. Critical to understanding who I am is to understand where I came from, right? And to understand that there is success and genius that runs in our race. From the first heart transplant to the first patent in business, mm-hmm, in the U.S. to the traffic light to, you know, while we keep talking about folks who, you know, invented the light bulb, it wasn't until Benjamin Banner created the illuminous part that caused the light to work. It wasn't Thomas Edison. So it's those things, right?
We don't hear about.
So I keep saying that your place feels like home because it's more representative of who we are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Instead of who they want us to be.
Instead of what gets depicted on TV or all that we read about. And so that just connected so well with me around worth, your culture of value. I value who you are.
Mm.
You have gifts and talents. Let's make sure that we utilize those gifts and talents.
Yeah.
Go explore. Understand you're responsible.
You're responsible.
Understand you're responsible. It's almost like when the teachers, I didn't have this experience that often, but when teachers would welcome you into the class and say, you start with an A, it's your job to keep it, right? All of a sudden, everybody's excited until they realize the work to keep it. Well, that's what you're saying. Everybody's in charge. But now you have to earn staying in charge.
Mm-hmm.
that's...
I know, it's a lot.
It's and now lot. Everybody, your staff is watching going, is that the Jedi mind trick? No.
it's but that's not. It. Like, they say, you know, I trust people. I'm a Pisces, you know, I trust people first. Mm. And then I heal and reconcile when there's mistrust that happens. But, like, it's not my responsibility if you lie to me. That's on you.
Wow.
It's my responsibility to hold you to your word.
It's you know what I'm saying? It's not my responsibility if you lie to me. It's my responsibility to hold you at your word.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's how I feel. That's how I teach my kids, too.
That's the philosophy.
That's how I'm like, I'm going to, if you say this, okay. If you're, you know, you say you're going to do this, gotcha. Mm. I'm going to check in on you. You know, so they need, you know, we all as creatures, you know, humans, we need to be checked in. We need accountability. Like, we have, I have tribe leaders, you know, to hold me in check because I am fearful of power because the way that our generations have used power and abused power, black, brown, white, everybody, it's like a human issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, having people to hold you accountable is a good thing. Having tough, I have a tough lady, Judy Wicks. She's awesome. She started the Sustainable Business Network of Philadelphia.
Okay.
You know, she just, you know, tells us straight things. And I need that.
Right.
You know, and that's helpful for me to succeed, and I appreciate her for that. But we need people that won't just, you know, just applaud us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need some hard working people.
It's still love, right?
It's still
you and
love.
I talked about
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
You know,
still
we
love.
Think that love is only, you know, when I am saying yes and hugging and kissing you and making you feel like you're $1 million. But it comes with correction.
Yeah.
It comes with challenge. It comes with long suffering. And so
the
more we expand this definition of love and understand what it's supposed to look and feel like, then we're less likely to kind of just toss it out there at our convenience.
Yes.
Right. You and I had that conversation yesterday around being able to communicate from a place of love and care. It makes a difference that no matter what the message is, if it is delivered from a place of care and love, I'm going to walk away, you know, sometimes pissed off, you know, but it's in my quiet time. Where I've had a moment to come out of my feelings and then actually digest what you were saying, that I'll say, oh boy, yeah, she was right. Now I need to go make this right.
Yeah.
Because I might have reacted out of this knee-jerk feeling, you know, like, ouch, that hurt. How did you,
react.
Hence his self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Now, for all of my listeners who are corporate leaders, right, it's emotional intelligence, right? You understand that you become self-aware so that you can then regulate your triggers as opposed to being led by your triggers.
Oh, my God.
Got it. So in that, in understanding that, right, I learned to respond versus react because I know the words, the facial expressions. I am getting in touch with me. Like, literally, I go through that sometimes. I'm like, I have a new word that triggers me. I need to pay attention.
I love that.
Write it down. I need to write it down. Ooh. I need to pay attention.
When that word comes up.
Because when it comes up, right, I need to be able to say, you cannot, you know, become dismissive. What does it bring out of you and how do you regulate that so that you get understanding and not judgment you hear it? Because, look, we're...
A fine line.
It is. It is. But according to what you're describing about what happens in Franny Lou's porch, is there's that atmosphere of when we are going to engage each other in this tribe, it's not through judgment. Mm-hmm. It's not through cynicism. It is from a place of caring for one another and taking care of one another, which is huge.
It's just huge.
So talk about the name Franny Lou's Porch. Yeah. How did you come by that?
Yeah, it was all a dream. I knew that I was transitioning from our first shop, Leota's Place, and transitioning, moving across the street, and wanted to rename it because a lot of the people didn't really catch on to that name, and it wasn't catchy enough. So I was like, well, and I wanted to open up again as being a space that's more intentional. So everything in the store is like local, relational, organic, and made with love. And so I needed, and I didn't want to name it for myself because I, you know, I didn't see it as a me place. I see it as a we place.
Wow.
So we need to make sure that it is a space that can grow outside of one person.
Mm.
So I wanted to look back in our leaders. It's like, okay, black women leaders, you know, people we don't talk about that much.
Right.
And ordinary leaders, because I want to inspire and encourage the ordinary radical in all of you. So then I looked up and I was reading, I love, you know, 19th century women activists. So I came across Frances E.W. Harper in the 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
She was born in Baltimore. She was born free. But she was an abolitionist, and she actually lived here on 11th and Pine, and died here. She was a single mom as well. She traveled and did lectures for both white, black, women, male, female spaces, which was huge for that time because she was so eloquent and direct. She was kind of like a modern-day James Baldwin in the 19th century. So she was amazing. So I really love her work. All of our teas are actually named after her poems to try to get people to look into the poetry that she wrote.
All of your teas are named after her.
Like we have the slave mother, you know.
Yeah.
And people are like, ooh, should I get the slave mother? I was like, it's a great poem. You should definitely read it. It talks about women, you know, babies being taken away from the mother and that experience on the auction block. But yeah, and she also was an advocate for direct trade, direct good trade. So she has a famous quote saying, I would buy a dress of a coarser dress if it was made with free hands than a more fine and beautiful dress made with the hands of blood.
Say that one more time.
She said she would buy a coarser dress and not a lovely dress if it was made with free hands versus a more fine and beautiful dress made with hands of blood.
Mm.
Those are our products we wear and we use today. So that type of trade is still in progress today. So we make sure that, for instance, the sugar industry, chocolate industry, diamonds, oil, all these things, the technology, the ores are all from like Africa and how we are hurting black children. We really need to understand and take those seriously, those trade commodities. So everything in the store is fair trade sugars, fair trade chocolate. And with that, it helped them, you know, our options are smaller. We don't carry Hershey's. You know, we don't carry like these big marketed businesses. So anyways, Frances gives us those roots, right?
Right.
Frances is dope. Then the next lady is Fannie Lou Hamer.
Yeah.
She's more well known, 20th century, big voice and love. So much. So she's come from sharecroppers.
Yep.
She fought for voter registration in the 60s. She got, you know, most black people in America today still vote from Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
She got beat up for voting, blind in one eye. She got forcibly sterilized when she went in. So she has a whole history of how the system of oppression has come up on the black community. So I think she's a very good example of the black experience, the hardships that come with it, but also the joy. She's known for singing and bringing together with this joy and in awe, you know. So we bring her spirit as well. And they're both artists.
Yeah.
You know, so we really think that creativity is, connecting to our creativity is this way that we can connect to our creator God, you know.
Mm.
Once we can connect and we can see nature and be one with nature, we can, you know, draw something that wasn't created before, but now it's created, and paint. We have areas to paint and draw. It really brings us life. You know, we see what we're capable of. So then, you know, Frances E.W. Harper, Fannie Lou Hamer is Frannie Lou's. And I literally woke up with Frannie Lou's.
Well, I will tell you, you're a little bit of both of those women, so I get it.
I really get why.
Mm. And the fact that you have embedded history in everything throughout that place of business. It's from the time you order, you are ordering history, so you need to read that poem. You're looking up, and I remember seeing there's a Martin Luther King drink, right? So you are learning about us.
In a positive way.
In a positive way. And it's not just the MLKs and the Rosa Parks, you know, that get taught. Most folks would not even, you know Francis Harper.
Yeah.
Or, you know, while there are certain generations who may know, you know, Fannie Lou Hamer. I don't believe that that's across the board. And so the fact that...
We don't know our history.
We don't have enough time on the show.
Collectively, we are learning it in our when we get older. You know.
Well, you and I talked about that, right? So there used to be a time, and I love the fact that you say tribe, where we were educated within the tribe, right? Wisdom was passed down from, and in my family, from, you know, my great-grandmother to my big ma to my father to me. And you sat in circles like we experienced family time. It was mandatory family time. It wasn't a, you know... And the reason it was Big Ma and Big Daddy is because they were bigger than everybody's mother and everybody's father. So it was clear who was the patriarch and the matriarch in the family. And that's how history was passed along. And while even in slavery we weren't able to read and write, we told one another the story and the struggle and the journey.
Yes.
We no longer tell the story. It gets told in the movie, it gets told in the song, it gets told everywhere else, but from one generation to the next. And so part of why I am so connected to Worth is because of that. We have to know where we come from. The conversations that we had, even around the word lineage, you're like, well, are you saying history? I don't even know if I really connect to that. You know, and I'm listening. And appreciative that the honesty was around the table and immediately said, this is why the work has to be done. But also saddened that there is no black, brown history in our history books that reflect if I'm Asian, Latina, African American, if I'm from another island, the Caribbean. But folks like you bring that all back home by opening a business that doesn't just say, you know, you want a grande latte. You want, you want some history. When you order from here, look it up.
Look it up.
Look it up. You know, well, is that such a, look it up. Go read about
it. And here's a book right here. You can sit down for a minute, have a little bit of tea, chill out from your hectic day.
Yes. And I knew we would get closer to time. But inside of your facility, you also give 20 minutes worth of free time on your computer and you allow folks to print.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge resource. Like, we need that. We need to spread resources.
I'm putting that out there because not only were you intentional about the name of your business, but you were equally intentional about the resources that are inside of your facility. And more importantly, the neighborhood.
It's changed. It's changing.
Since right?
10 years
so
I've
it
been
is
there.
Still yeah. changing. But so you did it's it changing. When it wasn't. Right? It makes a difference. Look, I've been living where I live for 15 years, and when I look at it today, and I'm like, and in 5 years, it's not going to even look like this, right? So 15 years ago, I'm like, oh, my quaint little neighbors. I knew, you know, the neighbor to my right, to my left. Like, everybody had lived there all their lives. The children were now living in these homes, right? And there was parking. There is no more parking. You know, everybody is, it's the race to get home so that you can find parking. But you were in the neighborhood when, you know, it was questionable, would you generate revenue?
Yes. Everyone told me not to do it. I had a vision. I'm weird.
And it's not weird.
I just was like, no, the shop needs to be here. I see it. And people are like, you're crazy. Like, and all the neighbors, you know, it's in a traditionally racist neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Irish folk. But it's interesting how much of the Irish folk have been welcoming and kind. I think I also reciprocate, you know, the kindness. So I think they're also dealing with somebody who's, you know, wanting a good bridge. But yeah, so that was hard to, like, battle through that And then, you know, you just wait.
Yeah, you're battling through. By the way, I'm not only coming, but when you enter, here's some Black history for you.
Yes. Yeah. Right? We're playing African music.
Yes.
Our
it's
music
not like
is
you
all
showed
like
up with a Starbucks.
Music.
You did not.
No.
You did not show up.
We have Marvin Gaye. What's
right.
going on? Like,
what's going on?
Yeah, we got everything. I mean, that bar itself, what yeah. now we're in, was a white supremacist bar. So I'm wow. just like dancing on the devil's grave. You know, that's how I feel all the time. And it's good.
Wait, so the bar you're in now used to be a white supremacist bar.
Yeah.
And you've converted it.
Yes. And
to Franny Lou's
yes. And
porch.
People that used to go to that bar come and love what we've done with it. So there's true good reconciliation
okay.
and love.
So I have to take this back because that's a part of the story I did not know.
Sorry.
But I have to take this back to scripture. Right? Because he told Abraham to get up and go. Mm. And that through you, I would bless, right? Generations to come. And so the fact that you went to a place that some folks wouldn't even go, that you stayed there in an environment that wasn't valuing who you were, but that you stuck it out to now be in a building that would have otherwise not even let you in.
Not even let me in.
That's the blessing.
It is.
I think people,
remarkable.
I mean, and you, yeah. you persevered.
Yeah. It's hard though. But it's with community. You need community.
Yeah. But that's also what Franny and Francis did. Yeah. What Fanny and Francis
yes,
did,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So that's why I said you're a little bit of both. And the value you're bringing to that community.
Beautiful.
Look, I actually smiled and said, and I know you're a fan because you have his cup cover.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Uncle Bobby's. He's going to be on in September. And when I'm up in that area, I drop in. You have no idea how excited I was to find you 10 minutes from where I live and to be able to say, I've got someplace to go.
Yeah.
And I am going to make sure that before we close this out, that we invite all of you in and make sure that you know where she is located. What will be your legacy, Blue? Ooh. What will be your legacy?
My legacy?
That's yeah.
a good question. My legacy, I hope, would be that I helped people see their fullness of who they can be.
Mm.
As well as discovering my own fullness.
Yeah. Wow.
I think that's it.
I think that's it. I just want people to see their fullness. That's all. And you say it like it's so small, you know, as if it's in this nice little quaint box. But that's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. It brings me life to see other people brought to life. It really does. Like, I get so excited. My whole body gets all excited. I do. I'm like, ooh.
For those of you watching, you can actually see, you know, her energy. But think about how great the world would be if we were excited about watching someone else become successful
exactly.
and fulfilling their purpose. Think about what our communities would look like. If we all
yep.
considered each other to be a tribe
yes.
with different parts to ensure that mm. the vibrancy of our neighborhood was sustainable, mm. right?
We all affect each other.
Look.
We all affect each other.
So in as much as you're putting it in that terms, we are all a part of one body, right? Different gifts, different functions, mm-hmm. but one body. And that's what you're saying. I am asking everyone to bring their whole self, their whole gift, be responsible and accountable because we need you.
We need you.
We mm-hmm. need you executing in your fullest potential
mm-hmm.
so that we can achieve greatness together.
Yes.
There'll be times where as a leader, I may have to go before you. There may be times I may have to circle back and pull you or push you.
Mm.
But together, we're going to get there. Wow. Yeah. So what does fullness look like for you? Because you said in my own fullness, what does that look like for you?
Having spaces to speak and dance and write. I have friends that, like, I get itches to perform. I went to college for acting and performing. And I think my friends that invite me to do different things, they know, like, Blue hasn't done something in a while. Let's just ask her. I know she doesn't have any time. And that's the thing on City Hall, you know, tomorrow. But I think those spaces really do bring me life, and they get me excited. And then my kids can see me up there.
Yeah.
And they're proud of me when I'm out there. And I try to be proud of them as well when they're in their spaces of brightness, and facilitate that. So I'm really thankful for having people in my life to know what my things that I love.
Yeah.
And they hold space for me or push me a little bit.
Wow.
Because if it was up to me, like if it was just up, if I was by myself in my own mind, I would sacrifice, give, and I would be a pile of dirt, like right away, right now. You know, I have a tendency to do that, so I'm thankful, yeah, for that. Thank you.
Yes. Tell folks where this wonderful shop is located.
Yeah. Frannie Lou's Porch is on the corner of York and Coral. 2400 Coral Street in East Kensington, 19125. You can take the bus number 5 to get there. You can also take the York stop of the Market Frankfurt line. So it is accessible. You can find us online at FrannieLou'sPorch.org. Our handle on social media is FrannieLou's. Yes, so that's where we're
at. What time? What time are you open?
Oh, great.
Yeah,
great.
And okay, the good. Days?
Great, thank you. So I'm open. We are open Monday through Sunday. Monday through Friday, we're open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. And Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. But starting in September, we're really excited. We're going to be open till 9 p.m. from Thursday to Saturday. And hopefully we can provide a place of rest that's not a bar in the evening. But it'll be chill. It'll be cool. There'll be some events. You can also bring things to spike your latte if you want as well. But just to provide a safe family space even in the evening. So, yeah.
I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to have you on the show today.
Thanks.
And I am so stoked that I went yesterday and I was back there again today. So you need to go. It is a slice of heaven.
We need something different.
Yeah.
We need some examples that it can be different with our creativity.
I just thought about this. It actually is the shape of a porch, an enclosed porch. I didn't even pay attention to that, but it actually is the shape of an enclosed porch because you can. Wow. I didn't even get that.
Trying.
Yes. I have had such an amazing experience with you and with your business and all that you are promoting around value. I don't want folks to miss some of the important things that you shared with us today. I was taking copious notes. So first and foremost, recognize and identify that you can be a tribe first, and that language becomes critical when you are leading. That there is a value system and there's a value culture. What Blue is promoting is a value culture that makes room for gifts with ownership, responsibility, but also with love and support. The other piece that she talks about is having healthy boundaries. So you can still be the leader and still govern that, you know, you're not hanging out, because there needs to be boundaries and establishing that as a leader, there are things you have to model and demonstrate, but it doesn't mean that you're stepping on anyone. Mm-mm. And there's a critical component around, role clarity and respecting that you are communicating consistently and effectively, because that's what I heard. Mm-hmm. That feedback is given and received. Yeah. And even when you're receiving it, you said that I said, you know what, I was wrong, and that your manager said, cool, let's move on from here. That becomes important. Part of leading is making sure that you identify when you're wrong.
Yes.
So that you can model for folks that it's okay to take ownership of being out of, you know, making a misstep and how to recover from it and how to make sure that, there is still success, as you, you know, move forward. Empowering people to operate in their gifts. Communicating requires listening, which is also something that you emphasize. Last but certain, well, two things and then I'll close it out. Worth. If you did not understand how important knowing your lineage is, and knowing your history, hopefully what you heard today from Blue helps you get on that journey. Just in the name of her own shop, from Frances Harper and Frannie Lou Hamer, to come up with Frannie Lou's Porch. Knowing those two women and what they stood for made a difference, and hence the name of her new business and the difference it's making in that community and in that neighborhood. She said, and I quote, "I would rather wear a dress, let me see if I get it right, a coarser dress made with free hands than a fine dress made with hands of blood." Let us be more intentional about what we're buying, who we're buying from, and that we are not continuing to have the enslavement and bondage of others, but that we are working diligently for the freedom of others. Mm. Know your worth. Know what you bring to the table, because God loves you. He has promises for you. He's going to work through you, and he's going to bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. So operate in your gift and watch God operate in a way that you can't even begin to imagine. We've had another hour and I can't believe that it's already up. My goodness. And thank you again to Blue Kine for coming in today from Frannie Lou's Porch. Please be sure to stop by and see there. I'm telling you, it's a place that you will too call home like I call home. It's Worth Wednesday. We're closing out this Wednesday, hoping that you feel valued and know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has purpose and calling on your life. It's been a pleasure. Until next week, God bless and God keep you. This is Michelle Lawrence from Michelle Speaks Radio.
No, it's about the journey. It ain't where you're headed, but it's how you grow. It ain't about the trophies, but getting back on your feet, walking in your glory. So come on, let's go. It's time for Michelle Speaks. Yes, it is. Michelle Speaks. All right, all right. It's time for Michelle Speaks.